for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, March the 30th, 2002. This is the Passover camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the morning.
I'm going to teach on healing. You know, to follow the Lord, it costs you everything you've got. Years ago, when I made the decision that I was going to put God first in my life, I made it and I meant it. And I lost all my kids, my grandchildren. They thought I had flipped out. I had become a holy roller, and they were all Baptists, whatever they were. They weren't much anything, to be honest about it. But they were going to Baptist church. And they just didn't want to be, and my sisters, but you know, God promises us that if we'll be faithful, that He'll bring them back. And He did. And I praise the Lord. Some people don't understand me very well, but that's okay. I love my family, but I don't want them in the house with me all the time. Because I wouldn't have time for the Lord at all if I had all my kids and my grandkids in there.
We're your bestest family right here.
That's right. The only family I got, really, to be honest with you. Mine are so scattered. I have a daughter in Florida, two sons in Little Rock, and a son up on the other side of Nashville. So, and my grandchildren are here yonder and everywhere. So I have great-grandchildren. But, you know, God has promised me my family. And he's bringing in my grandchildren, and now I'm, well, the great grandchildren are still tiny, but they'll be saved too. Amen. They're going to walk with the Lord and preach and do deliverance. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your love this morning and your mercy and your grace. Father, I thank you for the name of Jesus. The Jesus Christ, our Lord, who went to the cross, who suffered in agony. And even before he went to the cross, that by the stripes upon his back, we were healed. As those stripes took the meat off of the bones. He was doing it for us, for our healing. And Lord, forgive us for the many times that we forget and don't trust him. And Lord, we thank you. That you forgive us, that you say when we repent, you forgive us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your great salvation that you've given unto us. And Lord, let us be faithful in following after you. You said to set our eyes like flint, our forehead like flint. And Lord, we're going to walk with you and watch you do the things you desire to do with us. And Father, we'll praise you and give you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we pray. And Father, now in the name of Jesus Christ, in my position where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, I bind the powers of darkness. I bind Satan's power from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I ask you, Father, to send a sweeper angel in to sweep this church of every demonic spirit and take them to the bottomless pit and bind them in there till the day of judgment. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. In his name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you will, I want you to turn to Exodus. I titled this, Spirits That Attacked Our Body. And, you know, I was looking for Dodie Goodman's, Osteen's book back there. I wanted to show it to you. In the back of her book, God healed her of cancer. And, it has a lot of scriptures in the back of that book. And she literally took those scriptures and walked cancer out of her body. The doctor said she's going to die in just a short period of time. And she was in the hospital and she left the hospital, went home, and God healed her. It wasn't an instant healing. It was a possessive thing. And God brought her out on His Word. He healed her by His Word. And I'll tell you one thing. If you know someone that's sick and need the Word and won't find it out of the Scripture, take the book. I bought 10 of those, and I've given every one of them to people I know that's sick. And they read it, and they lay it down. But I tell them, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. You know, the Word has to become a reality. It has to become real in you. You know, mental ascending the Word won't do it. Letting that Word become a part of us. And I get discouraged sometimes because even in my own church, just about everyone in there goes to the doctor, and that's fine. But the thing is, when you've taught it as long as I have, and nobody and everybody's too lazy to, I say they're too lazy to walk in the Word. They go to the doctor, and then they come back, and after they've gotten on all this, I have a lady in my church got on blood thinner. I didn't know it. She's on it for 3 years before she ever told me about it. And then she wanted me to pray. I said, not on blood thinner. I don't do it. I said, you seek the Lord and see what God wants you to do. I pray healing for her. I won't pray deliverance for her because she manifests real violently. And, you know, with blood thinner, if you know anything about it, you know, a little bitty scratch and they can bleed really bad, you know. But he said, well, you're cruel. No, I'm tired. I'm tired of talking the Word and people won't hear it. The Word is true, people. We all mental ascend it. But it's true when it's in your heart in abundance and it comes out your mouth. Had a lady tell me just this week, she said, I can't believe some of the things coming out of this woman's mouth. She's always talked the Word. I said, the Word says what's in your heart in abundance will come out your mouth. This lady's real sick. And she has a real hardness about her. And I said, just pray that the Lord will touch her and minister to her and that, you know, can you understand? I hope you can understand where I'm coming from. I'm not trying to put down Dr. Spanning. We got a doctor sitting over there. If he would do it, I'd get him to tell about how God healed him one time. Here it is. I went back there looking for it, and I didn't see it. See this? I think it's $4. I believe that's the price of it. Yeah, it's $4 because I know I bought 10 of them. And in the back of it, there are 40 scriptures on healing. And I don't care what you've got. I don't care what you've got. If you will get this Word and take it like medicine. The doctor gives you a bottle, a prescription. He writes you a prescription. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture, but I want you to listen to this. You go out and you buy that medicine and you take it. You'll set your clock and get up during the night and take it. He tells you to take it at 4 hours. And this, if you get up every 4 hours and take this, it will heal you. A doctor can't heal you. God's got to do it, regardless of what the doctor does for you. It's still God that brings healing. And I am so angry at the devil that has deceived God's people. God wants His people to walk in healing and health and let the world see that God is still God and that Jesus died for our sicknesses as well as our diseases. He healed us before He died for our salvation. I'm about to get tangled up in this cord. But I'm telling you, remember this. The stripes on Jesus' back were put on Him before He went to the cross. So you're fussing at us. No, I'm fussing at all the people that I want to get them healed. You see, I know what the sickness, once you can't walk down two roads at one time. My husband said, when he went to the doctor, he said, I've decided to go the doctor's way. My husband died 2 years ago. You know why I'm mad? He didn't have to die. He didn't have to die. And I had to repent of being angry at him. I've already repented, and I'll repent again before the day's over. I was sitting back there. I let it all hang out, y'all. I'm just a simple person, but I believe God. I was sitting back there just now, and God was just ministering to me. I was lost in the spirit, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, scared me. You know, I startled me. It wasn't fear. And I went to the phone. And I had to repent before I got off the telephone. Somebody called me about sickness. You see why I'm angry? I want people to call me and tell me they're healed. Did you know that Brother Glenn, they don't ever call and tell me that they're okay after I pray and stand with them and cast out and do all cast down and all this. I want a good report. I want somebody to call and say, hey, it works, it works, it works for me. Well, it works for me, I'll tell you right now, because I believe God. And when I need the healing, I preach it. And I get the word. You know what I do? I get my Bible and I walk the floor with it. I'm trying to, forgive me, I'm not trying to lift me up. I'm trying to tell you how I get my healing, okay? I take my Bible and I mark the scriptures in there. Even though I know them, I mark them and I'll start at the first, and I usually start at Exodus 15. And I go from one scripture to the other. And I keep walking and I'll say, Father, you said in your word that Jesus was wounded for my, was, by his stripes I was healed. I go to Isaiah 53:2. And I said, Father, this is word says that if I obey you, you'll take sickness. You'll heal me and you'll take sickness out of the midst of me. You see, it's a lot I've got to do is obey his word. And I got to obey what he says. I can't just pick and choose. Well, I know God's word says that, but, you know, we say that a lot of times. I said that one time, I think last time I was here, or one time I was here, and there's some children up here, and they said, I was saying, but what? And I said, but, you know, when we say but, well, what we're fixing to say is, but, I know it works, but I have to do this. No, you don't. You got to believe God. Do you believe God? Or you believe Him? Mental sinning won't do it. Anyway, if I sound angry, I'm not angry at people. I'm angry at the devil that has deceived them. See, I live through it. But I know that God's Word works. I just had a daughter that had back surgery. She had her neck broke. She had surgery on her neck. They had to put bone in her neck and blah, blah, blah. And she couldn't turn ahead. I love my child. She's my baby. She's 46 years old. And she couldn't turn her head, but like I think she had 35% use of her head to turn her neck on her neck. You know, she had to turn like this when she turned. Went to church and God healed her neck. And now she can, she comes back and she's real excited and she tells me, and I'm excited. She tells me, God healed my neck. I said, honey, the same God that healed your neck will heal your back. Now, mother, I said, Carol, the word is true. My daughter went to Bible college. I think that's wonderful. Changed my mind about what that's making. But anyways, praise the Lord. Go to Exodus. Are you there yet? 15? I think that's what I said. I don't know whether I said it. I have so much I want to say. I want y'all to know, I'm just so angry at the devil. I just wish I could get my heels in his neck. He wants to make God's people sick. And let me tell you something. If you go to the doctor and he says you got this or you got that, for heaven's sakes, don't get in agreement with him. Listen to what he says and then walk out of there and say, I break the curse of every word. I've done it in his face. When he told me that about my husband, I said, I break the curse of your words in the name of Jesus. But you are the ones got to do it. And you break the curse of those words. And you do whatever you want to after you leave. But don't receive the sickness and don't go tell no one that you've got it. God's word works. It works unless we get in agreement with the enemy. And that we've got to be in agreement with this. Did you know that every one of you know the scripture where two agree is touching anything, it shall be done, don't you? Well, let me tell you something. The one that I agree with is written in that word right there. When people call me up and say, will you agree with me? And I said, no, I have to know what you want me to agree with. I'll agree with you about what the word says about it. But I don't know what you're believing. And if I agree with you and you're just hoping, well, then it'll nullify my agreement. And I know what the word says. You say you're putting yourself up. I'm trying to put faith in the people that call me and say, agree with what the word says. I love you. I really do. And I just see what God would do if we would just believe Him. Just believe Him. As Brother Glenn said, you know, it doesn't matter what people think about you. They may eat you up to your face and amend your back, sir, and you don't know what they're going to say. So why bother? Just love them and go on. And if they don't want to agree with what you say, well, that's their problem. You know, they can be wrong if they want to. Don't be obnoxious with it. But when you talk, talk in love. Don't get angry like I'm not really angry. I'm just trying to get you to hear me. God's word works. Not only in healing, but in everything. When we believe. When we believe it. He said over here in Exodus in chapter 15 and verse 22. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now stop right there and look at that, what the word says. They murmured. You need to look up and see what God thinks about people murmuring. He does not like complainers. Exodus 15, verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. You see, he told Moses to throw, poor Moses, he had all them hundreds of thousands of people, million of people, I don't know how many people had a lot of them. And they were murmuring. And when they came to the water where God had led them there, they didn't come there by accident. They came there and they began to murmur. And so, and the bitterness that was within them, I want you to look at the bitterness. And a lot of times the bitterness within us stops us from getting our healing. But you see what God said to them? Take it to the cross. What does the tree represent? It represents the cross. Throw the tree in the water. So we take it to the cross. We go before the Lord, get on our knees and say, "Lord, this bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in my heart, Lord, I bring it to you. I confess it as sin. It's me and I sin. And Lord, I want to be free from all of this, these things that are hitting me." And he said in verse 26, and he said unto, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases." And that word "put," if you look it up, it's "permit none of these diseases upon thee. And I have, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And right there is a scripture that we can get totally healed on if we believe it. He says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will heal you if you will obey me." When I have preached, like a priest the other day, whenever I use that scripture in Genesis 2:24, where God said, a man and a woman were to cleave together and leave their father and mother, and try to get people to obey, to hear God's word, obey the word. They said, "But I know that's what it says." And I have a lady I've been ministering to that her children, her daughter is living in the house with her, got three kids, got a husband. And every time they get ready to move out of the house, the husband's working, they get ready to move out, he'll quit his job because he doesn't want to move out. He wants to stay there. He got rent and board all paid for, you know. We can take our money and do what we want to with it. Well, you said they should help. It should be they're helping their mother and father. You know, the word says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." The children need to be pushed out of the nest to make a life of their own. It's not easy to do that. And I'm saying this to say we don't even honor a little bit of the word when it comes to God telling us what to do. We won't do it. And God gave us a will. He said, you either will or you won't. Well, if we don't obey the word, then we're in rebellion. And I have people say, they say I'm a hard preacher. I'm not hard. I just believe God's word. And I believe that we ought to believe him. Okay, let's go over to Exodus 23 and verse, 24. Well, let's do 25. Well, 24. "And thou shalt not bow down unto their gods." This is talking about the false idols, "and serve them, nor do their after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water." and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. You know, we have idols in our house. Every one of us do. And God says to not to bring, over in Deuteronomy 7, verse 26, says to not to bring abomination into your house because you'll become cursed like it. You say, what are you talking about? There are many things that we worship that we don't even recognize that we worship them. You say, well, I don't worship, you know, if you had a Buddha sitting there, you'd say, well, that was an idol. We'd know that was an idol and get rid of it. But how many things that we disobey God with here? And where he says, I'll take sickness away from you if you'll obey me and get rid of all of the idols that you have. Our children can become an idol. They can become a god. They can become, we can, and you know, we don't even know it. You say, well, God gave us the kids. Yeah, he did. And told us to teach them. We are supposed to be teaching them the things that he wants us to walk in. And if we don't walk in it, and the kids are seeing us, and they said, you know, what you do speaks a lot louder than what you say with kids. And so if we don't do it, if we're not doers of the word, then the kids say, well, why should I? You know, I feel that way about anything right now. If I don't walk in it, I won't preach it. It's not easy, but I experience it. God has been teaching me through experiencing the things I've gone through. It's not easy. But, you know, when we put God first and obey him, we'll see him do what we ask. I think I may have told you, he woke me up one time in the middle of the night, and he said to me, he likes to talk to me when out of a sound sleep, I guess he gets my full attention. And he said, I said, if you ask me anything, I'll do it. And I said, well, I know that. We all say that. I know that, Lord. I know the word. I was hearing the word. And he said, I said, if you ask me anything, I'll do it. And he said to me three times. I tell you, he always says to tell me three times because I'm hard-headed, just like y'all. And I got up and I said, Lord. So I began to read John, John 14, 14 is where that scripture is. And he said, he will do what we believe him for when we ask him. And he said, I'll do it if you'll ask me. And, you know, I believe that. And I began to say, Lord, and I would ask him, well, you've heard this. I ask for parking place. I want one up front the door. And I get it. Then I'll say, Lord, I need to walk, so I'll just move back. And he'll have me one sitting back there where I can walk to the front. You see, you say, well, that everybody does that. It's a good way to start. Ask the Lord to for little things. He doesn't get mad at us if we try the Spirit. Do you know that? He said over in John, 1 John 4, said, try the Spirit. God don't get mad at us. So I say, Lord, I was coming in from the town, and I said, Lord, I really need someone to come and help me get a lawnmower home. I need to buy a lawnmower, and I can't get out of my car. I need a little push more. And he sent my son over to do it. I didn't know my son was coming, and I had thought he'd backed out. I hadn't heard from him, so I came home from church that day. I was on Sunday, and I asked the Lord about it. And when I got home, I got a phone call from my son. He said, Mama, I'm coming over. I'll be there Tuesday. I said, good, I need a lawnmower. So we went and got my lawnmower. But you see, God wants us to believe him. And if you'll start believing him for little things, when the big ones come, you can't believe God to heal you from cancer if you don't work on the little ones, the little things, the little symptoms that hit you, the little ways the enemy comes at you. Okay, let's go on. Psalm, I'm giving you some scriptures on healing before I get on the other. Go to Psalms 103. You know this. We sing it sometimes. But you know what? We forget it. We forget about what the word says. 103, verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's what we were doing this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I want you to look at that scripture, that third verse. He said, he who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Now, we believe that. But the latter part of that verse says, who healeth all thy diseases. Amen. He didn't say some of them. He said it heals all of our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Renewed like the eagle. I pray that a whole lot. I said, Lord, renew my youth. I'm almost 75 years old. I have a riding lawnmower. I cut my yard. I won't even hire it done. I could, but I enjoy doing it. I raise roses. I work, and God blesses me. He wants to bless us all if we believe Him. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Lord, you know, you heard me say, I think yesterday, Lord, as a young person in here, see, the word says that my spirit man's renewed day by day. So if my spirit man's renewed each day, I gotta have this body renewed so it can keep up with the spirit. You know, Lord, ask and you shall receive. He said, receive it. We ask Him. Sometimes we don't receive it. We don't receive it. God's ready to give it to us, but we don't receive it. Might as well say it all. We go in a prayer line. God's having, got somebody up here praying. And this is okay. This is good. Now, if you want healing, come up here and we'll lay hands on you. God will heal you. See, this is how I got into deliverance. Because I'd always sit back and observe. I'd sit in the back because you can't see nothing up here but whoever's up here. And I like to sit back there and see what's going on. And I had friends that had led me into the, well, prayed for me to receive the baptism when I was seeking the Lord. And they started out and telling us, you know, God will heal you. And I believed it. I've been sick a lot of times. And see, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I think I had almost forgot about it. 13 major operations before I could learn healing in 1970. And I sit back there and watch the people, and they come up here. Now, you see, if I pray for you, I can't heal you. But I can lay hands on you according to the word, and God will do it if you'll receive it. But you have to receive it. And I was watching those people walk away saying, well, they don't have it. They went to every minister that came. They go to full gospel and every, I mean, big name ministers, you know, that they really thought had, you know. And the men knew how to pray, but nobody knew how to receive. I don't guess they ever taught them, you've got to do your part too. You've got to go up there believing and receive that God's going to heal you. I think Oral Roberts used to say that it's when you're touched, you release your faith. When somebody lays hands on you, you release your faith. Well, I was watching that, and I said, God, something's wrong. And then God began to show me that sometimes there's spirits there that need to be cast out. And after you cast the demons out, then you pray for healing. You pray for healing for the damage that was done. You don't have to agree with me, because I'm going to give you the word. Now, and I didn't, as you remember, yesterday I told you I didn't write this book. I just read it. Let's go to James chapter 5. Everybody knows that scripture. I got in a lot of trouble with this one when I first received the baptism. I mean, a lot of trouble. Everybody I prayed for died. Because I wasn't being scriptural about it. I didn't know what they wanted. You know, somebody's in hospital, done got their grave dug and all their stuff bought. How can you pray a prayer of faith for them? I'm telling you. We were asked, as ministers at our church, as a lady in our church said, this friend of theirs was over in West Memphis, Arkansas, in the hospital, and wanted us to go there and pray for her. Well, I didn't want to go over there, but because Jim was the one, I felt like deliverance, what God called me to, and I said, he believed for healing, and he ministered healing. And so I said, okay, we'll go. And sure enough, we got out there. Jim said to her, we were asked to come over and pray for you. And she says, what for? He said, well, they told us you were real sick. And she said, well, yeah, you can pray if you want to. If you want to. That's not scripture. What did James say? Call for the elders of the church. And Jim had his little bottle of oil. And we went in there James 5 in verse 14, he says, is any sick among you, let him call. The sick person's got to call. Not a friend. Can't call for him. You know. And mama can't ask for daddy. Daddy needs to ask for himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the person sick got to call and got to believe when he calls, and when they anoint him with oil, he's going to be healed. He said, yes. And he said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So he tells us Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You know, the prophets, Scripture tells us right there, he was a man just like you are. He was a man, he was mankind just like we are. And when he prayed, he just said, God, don't, it ain't gonna, he told the king, it ain't gonna rain no more, it ain't gonna rain no more. And for 3 years it didn't rain until he said it was gonna rain. And so that's faith. That's believing when you pray that something's gonna happen. And you expect it to happen. That's why deliverance works so well. When you believe you're gonna get delivered, you're gonna get it. I don't care what anybody else says, you're gonna get it. And if you don't want it, nobody can take it away from you. Talking about the demons. Nobody can take them away from you if you don't want to get free from them. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Now, over in Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 15. Back when they were setting up the order of the church back there, the elders of the church, they said four things about what the church should come stand on, okay? I think they had so many doctrines. But I was looking at this in verse, in Acts 15, I mean 16, that won't work. In verse, I think it's, start at 17. See if I've got the right one. No, wait a minute, let me be sure I get the right word. Oh, yeah, 17. He said that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. In other words, get rid of your idols. Stay away from fornication. So these are things the early church walked by. And today, the church doesn't preach against these things. Fornication is wickedness. All kinds of sexual sins. And I see here very few preachers who stand up in a pulpit and call sin what it is. And I don't think I've ever heard a preacher preach against eating blood. God says you're not to eat blood. And not to have idols. You can go back to the Ten Commandments, and all of them, those are for today. You say, well, we're not under the old law. Well, let me tell you, the Ten Commandments shows you the sin in your life. If you want to see what the Word says about it, get over there and find out. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. And so he tells us here that we need to abide by what the Word says. And when we are obeying the Word, when you and I will clean up the sin in our life, and we need healing, we can go before God, and the devil can't accuse us and tell us that we're not going to get it. That's the one that tells you you're not going to get what you asked for. We don't go out asking God for a brand new car, a new house, $1 million. If you do, it's foolishness. But we pray, and God meets our need. He said over in, Philippians says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he tells us what our needs are. Your need may be for healing instead of $1 million, and your need may be for healing rather than things. things are not, you know, did you know the closer to the Lord you get, the less things matter? You just don't, it just doesn't matter a bit. They're just things. And the only thing that matters is what we send ahead for us. And the only thing we can send ahead is what we do for Him, that He does through us. Not what I can do. Not what I can do, it's what He does. And we want to please Him. We love Him and we want to please Him. But you know, He wants to heal us. Amen. Okay, let's go look at some of these things. Do you remember, you know, when I first started, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. When I first started teaching, I taught this a lot. And I hadn't taught it in a long time, and the Lord gave it to me not too long ago. You know, King Asa? I used to make so many people mad at me. I'd say, he sought the physicians and he died. And I said, well, he did. But if you back up and look at it, he was angry. He got in a rage. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Huh? Yeah, he did. The one that's telling the truth. And he was so angry. So anyways, let me find my scripture if I can. Chapter 16 and verse, starting with verse 7. He said, and this is why he got in let's skip that part and I'll go to 10 because he got in a rage. And Asa was wrought with the seer and put him in prison, in a prison house, and he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. You know, over in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, it tells us to be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on our wrath. And let's go and read verse 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, and his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. Now, my point of using that scripture is that he was angry. And you know, anger opens the door to so many things. And it also will, if you don't get rid of it, it can cause you to get bitter. And bitterness does a number on us. And you know, a lot of things that over in Hebrews it talks about the root of bitterness. And there are things that are we have gotten angry and bitter over that have, well, I'm trying to say they kind of get pushed down and covered up. And until we get to the root of that thing and get it out, it can cause all kinds of problems, all kinds of physical things. We don't connect these things with sickness. But we don't know what it does to our system. I was trying to say, I had written some things down here. I felt like bitterness had a lot to do with arthritis myself, because it worked with the bone in the, arthritis works in your joints. But I do know that bitterness within you, a rage and anger, can open the door for all kinds of things to come and hit you. And you know, a lot of people say, well, I have a temper, but my daddy had one too. And that's very possibly true, but it's still a spirit. You say, well, I can't, hurts, you know, you can control it for a while, but there'll come a time when you're gonna lose it. I told y'all the other day about the lady in my church kicked the man when she walked in. There's a demon in her that she doesn't want to get rid of. I don't know what the thing is, but it's her friend. She says she wants deliverance. She gets deliverance and she just almost grits her teeth to keep it. And she came in church the other night or a couple of weeks ago, and she was really I don't know what she was, but she came in. She said, "You got to pray for me." And I said, "I'm not praying for you. What are you? What are you talking about?" And she's because I'd been trying to get her to, you know, to see what she was doing, and until she's ready to give it up, it's a waste of my time. She said, "Well, I'm in trouble." And I said, "What'd you do?" And she said, "There's something in me just been raging, raging." And she said, "I said, yeah. I wonder what that thing is. You're sitting in a deliverance church and you don't know what that is." And she said, "I said, what happened?" She said, "She works in a doctor's office, and she was back in the back of the office, and salesman came in, brought some, or delivery man came and brought some stuff in, and she had to sign for it. And he was waiting on her, and he said something to her that set her off. She don't even remember doing it." She said, "They told her she did it. She walked up and kicked that guy twice." And he said to her, "What is wrong with you?" And she said, the lady that was with her told her, said, "Susan." Y'all don't know Susan, so I can say that. Said, brought her back just like that. She said, "What?" She said, "What did you do that for?" She said, "What did I do?" Now, she was so angry. Why she was angry, I don't know. I know the demon was working, but why it exploded at that moment, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You can control them for a while, but there'll come a time when you can't. She hasn't had any repercussions from it yet, but it doesn't mean that she might not. I don't know. You walk up and kick somebody twice. Anyways, but you see, rage and mockery can also come from alcohol. And she'll come into the church sometimes and she'll say, "You know, I'm just really would like to have a drink of wine." And I won't tell her, "Go get one. I'm sick of it." She don't come get deliverance from it. Yeah, she wants it. And one day she will. She'll come and talk about it. Try and get Doc to come over and cast that thing out of her. I think what I'm seeing and what I really believe is happening, I think the thing's taking it totally over. You say, "I don't believe that." I don't care. I've watched it. We have prayed and prayed for her, and we've also seen her hold on to that thing. And I got tired of it, and I told her, "Until you are ready to submit to the Lord and repent of your sins, don't you come back to me for deliverance anymore, because I'm not going to do it." Because you have got to, as the doc said, what I say all the time, God won't do it unless you surrender, submit to Him, and want those things out more than you want anything else. You know, pride keeps you, a lot of people, from getting deliverance. That's stupid. Pardon me, it's dumb. It's ignorant. But get rid of them. You know, let me tell myself, my family, on my mother's side, all of them had heart problems, and I'd never had any. And I told the sports head it now. And I was in the bed one night, and devil was telling me I was having a heart attack. And I said, "He's a liar, you're a liar." You know, and I was rebuking him. And I don't know, it was just some pains in my chest. And it was just some kind of something, could have been something I'd eaten, I don't know. But I was praying about it, and the Lord said to me to break a soul tie between my mother and me. And I said, "Okay." And He said, "Between you and your grandmother, and your great-grandmother, and your great-great-grandmother, 4 generations. And I'd never heard that before, so I thought, "Okay, Lord told me I'll do it." And so I did it, and I was just getting all kinds of deliverance just laying there in the bed. My husband was saying, "Where are you getting deliverance from?" I said, "I'll tell you tomorrow. Go sleep." And I really did. And I really forgot about it. I got lots of deliverance that night. And when I had church on Wednesday night, we were singing, and I was leading singing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Share." And I wanted to know what He wanted me to share about, because I had forgotten about it. And He said, "Share what happened to you." So when we finished that song, I just stopped and was telling the people what God had done. I said, "You know, I had been feeling so great. I got rid of those, whatever that was, all the soul ties that the Lord had told me to break. And through the soul ties, I just assumed that all of those curses of heart problems was trying to come upon me, and God delivered me. It was amazing to me that I felt so great, and I just, you know, just took it for granted that, you know, I forget what God had done. You ever do that? God blesses you and you forget about it? Just take it like, you know. Well, it is an everyday occurrence when you're walking with the Lord. But he had told me to share it, and I did. And then we did deliverance on the whole church, and the church began to get deliverance. Okay, let's go on. I will never get through with this. That's all right. I'll just quit in a little bit and do deliverance. I want to say this. I was going to share it upstairs with the ladies. Have any of you ever been hypnotized? If you've ever been hypnotized, you really open the door for spirits. I just wanted you to know that. Grief. Spirits of grief. Go to, I'm skipping a scripture. I'll give it to you if you want it on Gehazi, Elijah's servant. Remember he coveted, and Elijah healed the man of leprosy. And he coveted the things. And then he went and followed Naaman and told and lied. Lying can get you in trouble. That's over in 2 Kings 5:21-27. And the prophet Saul, he said, I saw you when you went after the ran after his chariot, you know, whatever. And he said and he saw what he had done, because the man, he lied to the prophet, he lied to Naaman. And so Elijah says, his leprosy will come upon you. He opened the door through sin. My whole point of what I'm talking about today is sin opens the door for sickness. And you don't have to agree with me if you don't want to, but there's a scripture over in John 5, where Jesus told the man, you remember the man at the pool of Bethesda that was laying for the troubling of the water? And he said, no one, Jesus walked. You know, I was, when I was preaching on this, I'd say, you know, Jesus just came walking. I said, why did he pick that one man? He walked through all, there's a lot of sick people around that pool wanting to wait till the angel, you know, stirred the water. Jesus didn't say that the angel didn't do it. He didn't come against that. He didn't say anything about it. He just walked to this one man, and he said to him about, did he want to be healed? I forgot how he said it, but he said, well, when the water stirred, there's no one to put me in it. And Jesus says, get up and take your bed and walk. He did. He picked up the bed, walked home. Amen. And he walked and went home. And see, he walked through there and he saw faith. You know, he had to see faith. Scripture didn't say that. But you know what he said? Go home and sin no more. Let the worst thing come upon you. So that can tell us that sin opens the door for diseases. And if you stop and think, God healed him. Now listen to me. When you're healed of something, remember, over in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 43 through 45, it tells you that when you cast out a demon, if the house is not filled and filled up, it says he went out, the demon went out, the unclean spirit went out, walked around the desert, finding no place, you know, he didn't rest in there, and he came back, found his house all prettied up, went in, brought seven worse than his first with him. So think about this. All the spirits you've had cast out, when you leave here, you protect yourself. We do very little bit of teaching on how to protect yourself, but you need to fill yourself up with the Word of God. You need to keep your heart right. You need to, because the enemy will try his best to re-enter. Not everything I talk about this, but it's the truth. Sometimes they're just waiting outside the door, just waiting for you to go out and say, well, I didn't believe that. Well, you give them all back if you didn't believe what happened to you. You walk out here and say, I didn't believe that. And protect yourself from the enemy. Do you know why God won't take a person that, and he talks about it over in Deuteronomy. I'm Roman, but that's okay. Over in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 4 or 5, where he said that he will give us our land little by little. When you have a person that is demonized, on drugs and alcohol or whatever, and just full of a lot of spirits, if God cleaned them up and delivered them all instantly without them having teaching of knowing how to stand on the Word and to fill themselves up and to seek the Lord, that they would be in worse shape than they were to start with. And God says he'll do a little by little. And you know that God also said that in the land he was going to leave a few in the land to see if you're going to serve him or not. Nobody will teach us on that either, but it's there. He'll leave a few spirits in there to see if you're really serious with him. Read the book. It's in there. I would give you chapter and verse, but I'll just let you hunt it and find it. If you don't know where it is, get your concordance and look it up. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, where was I? Let's go to Psalms chapter 6, okay? I want to show you something about grief was still the anointing. Did you know that? God's just given, he gives us a time to grieve. And I had a lady tell me one time over here right after my husband died. She says, I know exactly how you feel. She says, my husband's been dead 16 years, and I still grieve. And I said, honey, the word says let the dead bury themselves. What God gave me is not looking back, because if you're looking back, you're not fit for putting your hand to the plow. Looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And I said, Lord, help me to keep going forward. It's not an easy road, but that's what he tells us. So in Psalms 6 and verse 7, I think that's the one I want. Verse 6. I can't believe I can't read my own writing today. That may be 16. Let me see if it is. Yeah, it is. He said in 16 and verse 5, he said, be merciful by mercy and truth. Iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's not it. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't believe this. Is it 6? Oh, okay. Thank you. Y'all keep me on the right track. See, I need all the help I can get. Verse 7, okay. You know what? I'm in Proverbs. No wonder. Pray for me. Thanks. Oh, praise the Lord. He said in verse 6, I am weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes is consumed because of grief. It wax old because of all mine enemies. Grief can cause spiritual blindness as well as physical blindness. Give you some more scripture. Let's go. I'll be sure to get the right one this time. I hope I'm sure. Psalms. This one's Psalms 31. Psalms 31. Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yet my soul and my soul and my belly, for my life is spent in grief, with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. It also tells us that our strength is because of sin and iniquity, and with grief we lose our strength. You know, I see people when they lose someone, they sit down and feel sorry for themselves, just full of self pity. Dr. Noel's gone out. He came to see my daughter and I a couple of days after the funeral. He was going to come to the funeral, but he couldn't get away. And I was sitting over in my chair. You know, I expected sympathy. I was sitting over there feeling so sorry for myself. He said, come out of there, self-pity. I said, I ought to hit you, but it was true. We get in self-pity. And then we wallow in it. But you got friends like that care about you. They get you up, make you mad enough that you get up and go. And I appreciate it. But see, most people, you can emphasize, but we don't need to sympathize with them. We need to encourage them. And I do this with people with sickness. People don't want me around them if they're sick, because I don't give them any sympathy. I say, get out of that bed and stop laying there and feeling sorry for yourself. And walk around and tell the devil to get his hands off of you. That's why my daughter didn't want me to come when she's having the surgery, because she knew what I did to her. She wouldn't let me come, but that's okay. But you see, if we get sympathy, I'm watching people do this. The more sympathy you give them, the worse they feel. They do. They just lay there, woe is me, poor me. You know, nobody knows how bad I feel. When the devil tells me I can't, I say, you just wait a minute, I'll show you. And I get in my car and I leave. I had the flu one time hit me, flu bug, something. I felt like I was going up chuck every time I turned around. And he said, go to bed, you're sick. I said, where's my car keys? I got in my car and I drove into town, and I promise you, I didn't know whether I was going to make it or not, but I went down there and I ordered me a bowl of soup and I sat down there and ate a bite of it, and I went back home. I didn't have the flu. You know, if I'd have laid down that bed, I'd have had it. You know, we get in agreement with it. And so we have to stand, and you have to rebuke the devil. He tells you, when he tells you guys to go do something you shouldn't, you say, get behind me, devil, and don't push. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Who do you think you are? I'm God's child. Don't let him deceive you. He'll kill you. He wants to kill you. If you turn toward the Lord, he wants to kill you. He don't want you to do anything for God. You stand and you fight, and you stand up and rebuke the devil. Did you know the word says that Michael, the angel, rebukes Satan? What did he say? The Lord rebuke you. Do you know God gave us the authority to do it in the name of Jesus? And if don't let anybody tell you don't have authority. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power over all, that word power is authority, over all the power of the devil, over all of it. It didn't say part of his power. God has given us authority over all of the power of the devil, and nothing shall be any harm you. But you got to stand up and you've got to use it. You can't just lay down and say, well, you know, I got the power. We sang that this morning. And I was saying, yes, we have, and we need to use it and run the devil off. All right. I want to give you, let me see. I got that one. I want to give it to you. I think it's Ecclesiastes. No, it's Lamentations chapter 5. I want to show you where the grief will steal the anointing. Chapter 5 and verse 15. He says, the joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. Lamentations. Mm-hmm. Right behind Jeremiah. And he said, the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Verse 16 tells us that the crown, and that crown is the anointing. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Grief can cause the eyes to be dim. But let me tell you, do you know that I think that was the one thing that really got me up and going after I lost my husband? Because everything in me would love to just quit. Because half of me was gone and it was hard. But I didn't want to lose the anointing God had given me to teach his word. And I find that if you give in to these things, you will lose it. David prayed. You remember David prayed and says, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Anyways, I just want to show you that you can grieve. God gives us a period, and I don't remember what it is right now to grieve. It's very short. Maybe I'm saying 6 weeks. It's not very long, because and maybe 6 days. I just don't remember. But the thing is, Jesus said, remember when Jesus was calling men to follow him, and one said, I got to go bury my father or somebody, and the other said, I bought some horses. I thought, what's that got to do with anything? And Jesus said, let the dead bury themselves. Let the dead bury the dead. And what he was saying was, there's no excuse. We need to go on with him and do that which he's called us to do. And if we don't obey the word, I started out by talking about obeying the word. And the word says, let me give you the commission that God's given his people. Matthew 10:7-8. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. See, all God's given us, he wants us to give away. He wants us to go forth and do that. That's the commission God's given us. Go heal the people. Go lay hands on them. Get them healed. Preach to them, but preach the word first. Give them scripture. Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. We were healed. We are healed. We're already healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago. We've just got to believe it. And you know, my point is, I've heard people that in the charismatic Walk said if you pray more than once, you're praying in doubt. But you know, Jesus prayed twice for the man that was blind, remember? And so I believe in praying the word. I don't cry and beg. I'm not a beggar. I'm a child of God. And I stand upon the word and I say, Father, this is what your word says. In Jeremiah 1:12, he says he watches over his word to perform it. And in Isaiah 55:11 said his word would not return void, but would accomplish where he sent it when he pleases. It's his word. And one thing God has shown me a long time ago over in Samuel, when he called Samuel as a little boy, a young boy, into the ministry to be a prophet, the word says he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And I said, God, you're no respecter of persons. And I want to know how that happened. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, my word never fails. So when you pray my word, you're praying in line with my will. And so you pray the word. And so I say, Lord, the word says I was healed. And the word says that you're the God that healeth me. And you said, all of this belonged to me. And I receive it because it's mine. You said, you know, walk around the house. Even if you're not sick, take God's medicine. Build it up in you before you get sick. So when it tries to come on you, you say, hey, there's somebody down the road got a pocket full of medicine. The devil, go down there and give it to them. They're waiting on you. I don't want you in my house. And we sometimes will sneeze and say, oh, I'm taking a cold. Not me. I'm getting deliverance when I sneeze. I never say I'm sick. I say I'm getting free. I sit back there in the restroom and just sneeze my head off. I say, I don't know who you are, but come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Don't let the devil put anything on you. Don't let people do it either. They walk up and say, you don't look good. You look well. I said, well, too bad. I'm an overcomer. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And my testimony is that God is my source. And he wants us to believe him and walk in it. He doesn't want us to walk around like beggars. He doesn't want us, the doctors, to take your money. Medicine, they tell me, cost them arm and a leg. Well, I don't want the doctor to have my medicine, my money, and I don't want no drugstore to have it. I'll give it to God. It isn't mine anyways. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He's faithful. He is faithful to those that believe him. Stand upon the word. Don't let anyone take it from you. And when they come, I don't believe in cutting people with the word like a sword. It is a two-edged sword. But I believe in saying, no, I won't receive it. Because if you start receiving it, you have it. They'll put fear on you. Well, you got that. You ought to, you know, no. I ought to take a dose of my medicine. I got it. I got my medicine, and it works every time. It works every time. And you just keep praying and believing God. And it'll work for you too. Amen. Well, anybody wanting deliverance or prayer this morning? What time is it? We got a few minutes. I have a few more. Let me read some stuff to you. Will you let me read it to you? Gonna read it anyways. Rage can destroy you. Okay. Headaches come from anger also. You ever get headaches? I used to have migraine headaches. I told you I was sick for years. Got tired of being sick. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. Found out I didn't have to be sick. Heard that God healed me. And headaches. I had a migraine headache. I'd have it. My husband used to tell me, he'd get up and preach and just tell all my back sins. I ate aspirins by the handful. Didn't know I was harming myself. Didn't do me no good. I received the Holy Spirit, and one day I had a migraine headache. I cooked dinner, and I had gone lying down on the couch. My husband came in and said, dinner's on table, walk softly. Don't care a big stick, but walk softly. And he said, what's wrong with you? I said, I got a headache. And I was laying there, and it, honestly, I thought I was going to have a stroke. In fact, I had a demon sitting there telling me I was. I said, you're going to die, you're going to have a stroke. And I started to laugh. It had to be God because I would normally moan. And I began to laugh. And when I laughed, it just lifted and it took off. And I've never had another one since then. Headaches. A lot of people have headaches and reach for the aspirin bottle. I know I did. Everything that pertain to headaches, you know, aspirins, BCU, all that stuff. Find out why you have a headache, why you're mad, why you're angry. That anger in there is raging. Did I say a while ago that I was, rage also comes from alcohol. I think I said that. And mockery. You ever pray for someone that they've got a spirit of mockery? Go after alcohol. That's the root of it. It tells you wine is a mockery. Coveting can bring physical problems. Covet. What you need to do when you see someone, I've dealt with a lot of jealousy, a lot of resentment in people, and they'll say, why does God do this for so-and-so and don't do this for me? You know what I tell them? I say, you know, covetousness is a sin. Repent of it. And then ask God to forgive you. And remember this, that at the foot of the cross is level ground. I always tell them that none of us is any higher than the other, that anything God has, he's no respecter of persons. And I always say, this is what I do. Lord, I'm in the same line they're in. And I got my hands raised, Lord. I want some too. You don't have to covet anything. Just ask God. Just trust God. Trust Him. Okay? Coveting opens the door also. Rebellion comes in. And rebellion, if you really look back at Asa, he had rebellion. He was in rebellion, and he, that's when his feet were diseased. Hey, Lord, thank you. Lord. He's talking to me about me, y'all, not y'all. Okay? I see it. Grief will affect your heart, your eyes, and your bones. Have an eye problem? Check and see where it's coming from. Bitterness. When it's in the soul and the mind, the will, and emotion can cause all kinds of problems, boils, lumps, and even cause acne to children, skin cancer, rashes, witchcraft. I don't hear too many people when they go after sickness go after witchcraft, but I always do. I've dealt with witches. And I go after witchcraft curses first. And go and call off any witchcraft curse that I always fight it off of me. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every witchcraft curse that was loosed upon me. I cancel every assignment that come against me in the name of Jesus. And I command it to go in Jesus' name. It has no right here, and I command it off of me in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you to bless those old witches and save them. Bless them and save them. They need to be saved. They need to know Jesus. But witchcraft is the cause of a lot of physical problems. And we don't recognize it. You don't recognize it. But let me tell you something. Before you do anything else, when you go to praying for sickness, break curses of witchcraft and see what happens. Call the problem off as a curse spell. I do it like this. Also, I break every hex, every jinx, every incantation, every blood sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. And this has no right here in Jesus' name. Headache, whatever. You know, name the physical thing and call it off. And I promise you that a lot of it has been sent to hinder you from believing the Lord. Okay? All right. A spirit of haughtiness and pride works with Jezebel. Of course, I was somebody talking about Jezebel. But Jezebel is a witch. Pride, boastfulness, and arrogance. So, anyways, let's go after some of this. You want some deliverance? We got a few minutes. Okay? I'm going to go after sicknesses, sickness spirits, and diseases. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come right now and I bind every spirit in Jesus' name. I bind every spirit, the strong man, the ruler, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask for the anointing to fall. Let your anointing come down, Father, and loose these spirits in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For it is the anointing that breaks the yoke, Father. And Lord, we come now as your children. And Lord, as we come before you, we confess our sin of unbelief and ask you to forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Unbelief in healing, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. And I come against the spirit of unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of headache, the one that caused the headache, come out of there. Anger, spirits of anger, in the name of Jesus, come out of there. Come out now in Jesus' name. All anger, wrath, and what is the other? There's another one. In the name of Jesus, all anger, come on out of there. Rage, come out of there. Rage, temper, jealousy, come on out of there. That rage, I call it out in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come out of there. Let them go. Anger, wrath, rage, jealousy, spiritual rebellion. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. I call out every headache, every backache, every pain in the body right now. The word says that everything that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. And pain, you are a name. And I call you out right now in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose. Turn loose and come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of bitterness, spirits of arthritis, come out now in Jesus' name. Heart problems, heart diseases. I can't think right now of them. And from all heart problems, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of cancer, tumors, come out of there. Cancer, come out of there, and all cancer cells, loosen them and come out of there, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go, come out of there, turn them loose and come out of there, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, turn them loose and come out, let them go, in Jesus' name. All the doubt and unbelief, let them go, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I break every curse of witchcraft over about here, and I call witchcraft out. Witchcraft, come out of them. Every spell, every hex, every jinx, every incantation, blood sacrifice. I break a curse of abortion over this place. And anybody that's had anything to do with abortion has brought a curse upon them. I call out the shedding of innocent blood. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Rape and abuse, all abuse in the name of Jesus. Turn loose and come out of there. Come out of there. Let me tell you something. All kinds of abuse can bring such much hatred in you and bitterness that it can cause all kinds of physical problems. So turn them loose and let them go in the name of Jesus. Come on out there. Let them go. Let them go. All the abuse. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call out all those drug spirits. In the name of Jesus. I break every hold the drug has on you in the name of Jesus. And I call out drugs. All the drugs, demons, let them go. Come out of there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the addiction, craving, the taste, desire, and the effect, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Addiction, spirits of addiction, alcohol, all the alcoholic spirits, come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the addiction, alcohol, beer, all the wine, whatever they are, whatever you drink, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Tell you something. I did deliverance on my son for Budweiser. He always drank Budweiser. I was doing deliverance on him one night and he said, Mother, get me free from this. I said, what? He said, I think he said Bud. So I called the spirit of Bud out in Jesus' name, and he delivered. Oh, he delivered. Man. So in the name of Jesus, all the beer and all the alcoholic spirits, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Come on out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus, wine is a mockery. I call mockery out in Jesus' name. Spirit of mockery. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, wine was raging too. Come on out there, all the rage. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the sickness, infirmities, come on out there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go. I come against pride, the spirit of Leviathan. We come against Leviathan. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Pride, arrogance. Let them go. What is that? In the name of Jesus. Haughtiness. I'm thinking of the other words for pride. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Turn them loose. Let them go. Let them go. Let me get back offensive. I can find it. Arrogance. There you go. Arrogance. And there's all the pride. All the little pride. Oh, everybody has to have a little bit of pride. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Little bit of pride, little pride. Come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. All pride, little pride, big pride. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Come on, let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I don't have any demons. In the name of Jesus, I come out of there. You spirit, I don't have any demons. Come out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory. Praise the Lord. You know, the first time I saw deliverance, I said, everybody was, you know, I wanted to see if it was true. I had gone through Chicago. And I went in and no ladies had on earrings. And I had on earrings. I enjoyed my earrings. My husband had just given them to me. And so I went downstairs to the prayer room. I always went to the bathroom to pray. And I was praying down there. And I said, Lord, something's wrong here. I don't know what this is. And he said, don't throw it away. So before I left, I took my earrings off, and I never put them back on again. I had pierced ears, too. I had repented that, break soul tie with the person. I break a soul tie with anybody that's had their ears pierced. We break a soul tie with the person that pierced your ears, and we call their soul out of you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What is that? Is it Bell's palsy that comes with that? Was that the one I break the curse of Bell's palsy that come in through pierced ears. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. Loosen them. Loosen them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Spirit of Bell's palsy. Come out. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Anything that might have come in through those pierced ears, I call them out right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. We break every soul tie with the ones that's had the ears pierced. Now you know who they are and you name them. So in the name of Jesus, I call that soul tie out. And any control that might have been put on you through that piercing of your body in the name of Jesus, and I call it out in Jesus' name. And tattoos is, God tells us not to mark the body. It's over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy 2, I think. And I call out break a soul tie between whoever, if you got tattoos, whoever put the tattoo on you and you in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Body piercing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. You know, the devil just works all kinds of spells on us, doesn't he? I tell you, the Lord is good, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, we'll continue this at 1:15. Dr. Noel will be doing his thing down here. And he'll see spirits fleeing. And we'll be doing ours upstairs. So, Father, we thank you for deliverance. And let's ask the Lord to fill us now, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fill us, each one, with the Spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, fill every place where spirits have come in, have been cast out, Father. Fill us with your Spirit. And Father, give us a wisdom and power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. And I bind backlash and retaliation. I bind any spirits that are left. Ask you, Father, to cleanse the church. Send angels in to cleanse the church. That let no spirit stay behind. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. I ask you to cover each one now with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood. There's power in the blood. And Lord, we ask you to cleanse us in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.